Tonight, why don't we turn to Proverbs chapter 25. Is that where we are, Mike? No, we're not in 25. We're in 23. That's my mistake. We're in chapter 23 this evening. Proverbs chapter 23. Well, I couldn't remember. You know how easily I forget. Proverbs chapter 23 this evening. I was thinking during worship, about Ephesians chapter 4. And, you know, we're kind of a weird bunch, really, in a sense that we kind of set aside time out of the week. And we get kind of got a lot going on. We're trying to get somewhere from work, and we're trying to get something to eat, and then we're trying to get over here. And it's kind of the Bible calls us a peculiar people. And I suppose that's really true. You know, we're different from the rest of our society, and that's awesome. We're trying to set aside time to be alone with God and to be together corporately, but to hear from the Lord personally and as a body of believers, and to set aside that time to hear from the Lord. And I was just thinking about in Ephesians chapter 4, you know, as we get together, that really one of the great things that happens, we set aside time to hear from the Lord and that we might be equipped, that we might be strengthened, that we might have that affirmation and that encouragement as we spend time together in the Word, and that, hey, we're all, you know, we all got some stuff going on, some things happening in our lives, but, man, we got the Lord in our hearts, and we get together and we kind of affirm that together, that the Lord's in our lives, and we kind of encourage one another. And that's and as we go through the Word, and that's the importance that we, and the reason we place such a high importance on the Word, is that, you know, as we look at the Word, when there's a renewal of the Word in our personal lives, there's revival. And when there's a renewal in the Word, in a society, there's revival. And so it starts with us as individuals. We want to be renewed each time we get together and really experience that freshness of the Lord in our lives. And it's for as we go through and teach through the Word, it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. You know, a lot of groups, you know, they'll hire a pastor so that they don't have to do anything really that's spiritual. They hire a pastor so that that person can go on their behalf to the hospital and a lot of different other tasks and such, and that they might be a spiritual person on their behalf, when in fact that's really not what it is. It's really the idea. It's all that and a whole lot more, I might add. You know, there are a lot of those things that go on. But it's for the preparation that as we get together, we're being prepared for the work of ministry throughout the rest of this week, that we might be equipped and ready for what God has for us the rest of this week. What does God have for us? Well, I guess we're going to see as we go through the Word tonight and what God's going to have for us the rest of this week. You know, it's going to happen that things are going to come up, and the Lord will use a lot of the things that we spend time going over. And so thus the importance of doing this each week as we get together a couple times a week to spend time in God's Word. Verse 1 of chapter 23. You know, we've kind of gotten into this area where it's not just a one-liner anymore. Remember how it was kind of like a positive and a negative for a while? We had these one-liners, positive, negative, positive, negative. Well, now we've kind of shifted into, you get a little bit of that, but now it's more phrases, kind of thoughts encapsulated in these phrases, and they're kind of just interjected out there and put forth for us to contemplate, think on, and kind of digest a little bit. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat, if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. The thought here is maybe that you might consider, why did you get invited there anyway? What are you doing there? Why did this person invite you to be at this gathering to begin with? Sometimes you can get invited to certain functions and things because there's something somebody wants to talk to you about. They want to say something to you, or they want to win you maybe to a certain point of view. And you might walk away after you've enjoyed all these little goodies, and you might just be like, you know, that's a sticking your finger down the throat noise. Some people just listen by tape or CD, so that gives them the full view of it. But, you know, that you, if you're given to appetite, you start sitting down and you gather. Sometimes you guys know what I'm talking about. You've been to some business meetings or some things, and they're about to give you the hatchet, but they want to make sure you have a good fattened up before the kill, you know. this idea that, man, what am I doing here? You know, I've been invited to this thing, and why am I even here? Might be worthwhile to contemplate that, because they might have a different agenda than what you thought of. It might be a bit deceptive, the good food that you're about to eat. They might have another plan, or they might want something from you. They might want something from you. Notice this in our political arena that we're in right now. Just notice as you watch the commercials and the different things. They all want something from you. We need to be wise. We need to be good stewards of the word and be good stewards of where we cast our votes. You know, just think about that while you're watching. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. You know, this is one of my, I've got, you know, you'll notice I have thousands of favorite scriptures and thousands of favorite portions of scripture. I really like this particular scripture really well. I've been involved in different business endeavors over the years in a lot of different environments and different situations. And, you know, I've known a lot of, just got exposed at a young age, a lot of business guys, entrepreneur type people and different guys that I was around. And, you know, just kind of observing their lives and the way they lived. And, you know, they would amass, a very sizable chunk of money. But then they'd be so worried that something was going to happen to any of it, or they just become, it becomes very, you can become very focused and obsessed about it. You know, I've observed this over the years, how this can happen. And this idea, do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding, cease. You know, it has a tendency, as it says here, to make wings and fly. You know, you kind of set your mind and your heart on that which is not. You know, it can just kind of fleet away very quickly. You know, we had a guy, and I'm really haven't had a chance to speak with him yet. I was real sorry to hear this, but a fellow that I know down south, and his a young fellow, you know, a younger fellow, probably I would say very early 30s, and that shows that I'm getting a little old. That seems like a very young fellow to me. That's scary to my mind. But he was out on a site, you know, and then all of a sudden, man, you know, he got a call, had to leave, you know, and find out later in the week, you know, what had happened. His wife had, I guess, evidently it was some type of, it ended up being some type of heart failure is what it ended up being, and died. And he's got these two little twins. And I was like, oh, my. You know, I don't know whether it was a clotting thing or what. It was just kind of some real unusual thing. I was thinking, wow. You know, all the plans, all the things that we set our sights on. And I'm not saying this guy was all set on riches. That's not my point. My point is converting that over to that. We can set our sights on these things, and then life can change so quickly, you know? So radically, and how important it is that we really have our mindset on the things that really matter. See, riches make themselves wings and fly away quickly. You know, that which is not. They can disappear fast. You know, what's so important is the relationships that we have with one another in the Lord. First of all, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all. And then the relationships that we have with one another. Those are really of value. You realize those are going to last over on into eternity. You know, it's important to kind of think about that sometimes, and just because sometimes we can move pretty quickly through life and just kind of miss some real important things. Those are relationships that we're going to carry into eternity with us, and how important to handle those the way God would be pleased. There are those that will also, you know, give everything up in the sense of their own well-being, even, in order to obtain or gather riches. They'll work all these extraordinarily long hours and all this stuff, and they'll do all these things all to gain, you know, financial gain, and yet can damage their health, you know, damage their well-being, you know, in the midst of this, to get wealth. And then they've got the wealth, and now they're going to spend a bunch of their wealth trying to regain their health that they just lost. through trying to get the well. You see how vicious a circle it starts to get turns into? How careful we need to be. Because when we set our minds on these things and our lives towards these things, they certainly can make wings and fly away. How quick it can change. You know, the people that put their hopes in the market, the stock market, and how quickly things can change in these arenas. And it's just important. Do not eat the bread of a miser. You know, this word, one who has an evil eye or evil intentions is kind of really the input here. Someone who's stingy or just not, you know, looking towards the best interests of others, but has just kind of got evil intentions. That's kind of what's involved. You do not eat the bread of someone like that, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Thinking that this is all this great thing and you're hanging out and all this, and yet really they've got other intentions. It's kind of similar to those first few verses there as we looked at those. You know, it's kind of that kind of a similarity. They're really, there's an evil intention here, and they're not really looking out for others at all. They've just got their own agenda with it. And that which you thought, you know, maybe you've thought these good things about that person, you shared all these good things, and then you find out, man, they're going a whole other direction, and I'm not comfortable with that, and he's just going to vomit it all up, all these pleasant words. Verse 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. You know, you find some of these spots, you know, speak to a fool, and he'll, you know, and then it says, don't speak to the fool, and, you know, really, you know, interaction with foolishness is just that. And I think the idea of keeping it to a dull roar is probably pretty important. Not speaking the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. In other words, what are you investing your time in conversationally sometimes? You know, I've found myself in certain circumstances, and I don't mind, you know, repeating things in a discipling situation. You know, we're discipling, we're working together, we're trying to go and grow, and, you know, sometimes we need to go over things a few times. And I'm cool with that, personally. I understand that. I learn that way, too. Everybody learns that way. You know, we're learning, and we're growing, and so it takes time. We got to go over things a few times. But this idea of someone who's just a fool, they're just not listening. They're not really interested. They just want to do what they want to do anyway. And so you can invest all this time and energy in expressing something and trying to get something, but they're just not even going to pay any attention or apply any of it anyway. Think about that sometimes and use wisdom in the instruction that we're to give at times and pay attention to who's really is doing just that, paying attention. Do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He will plead their cause against you. Okay, this is the idea. Remember how we talked, and even Job had talked about this, where they moved the landmarks and how careful they need to be if they move the landmarks, because the landmarks were put there and they were to separate the fields and the areas, and it was wrong to go in and move them because now you're feeding your sheep and it's stolen grass and stolen land and you're not supposed to be doing that. That's kind of the idea here, and God's looking out for them. Also, that God's Word, as it's set in place in our lives, God gives us boundaries in our lives. Those ancient landmarks, those places that are set up in your life and my life. And we're not supposed to transgress those boundaries for good reason. A lot of times for our own well-being, for the well-being of those around us. But God's given us these boundaries, and we're to respect those boundaries. Apply, in verse 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Invest in it. Apply your heart to instruction. Invest in it. This is what's neat. You know, tonight, that's what we're doing. We're investing together in the Word of the Lord, wanting to hear from God. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Now, some people think this is license to handle oneself in a fashion that's abusive. Well, no, that's not what the instructions here are at all. It's not in a way that's abusive. And one thing, did you notice too, it's not talking about the hand either, is it? It's talking about a rod. you know, or using the maybe a wooden spoon for discipline. Some of you maybe are in this phase. Some of us have gone through this phase. Some of us are praying and hoping to be in this phase at some point of raising kids. And in the midst of it, you know, personally, we went through quite a few wooden spoons until we finally got to a 3/4-inch thick Rotary paddle, which worked out really good because, you know, we weren't quite able to snap that in half. But I believe the Bible is really clear, and I think this is a good thing to look at. The hand is for affirmation and care and encouragement. You know, that's what the hand's for. The rod and the spoon and to use that's the instrument of discipline, and it's important. You know, I remember just before my dad, actually it was after he had gone to be with the Lord, and I'd gotten a couple of minutes. You know, I was the one that was delegated to handle things, so I kind of had to go into business mode for a few minutes afterwards and make sure the nurses were doing what they're supposed to be doing and all that, because there was just on some technicalities because he was in a hospice and there were some issues that I just had to take care of. But then there was a few minutes that I was able to be alone, you know, with just he wasn't there, but I was able to be alone with what it was once him. And, just for a couple minutes, you know. And, you know, I remember looking at his hands, and that was one of the things I thought about. Man, you know, these are the hands that worked hard and fed me. You know, these are the hands that cared for me, that fixed my bike. You know, there's a significance to what's being said here, is my point. And that, you know, for us, it's important. You know, I have that memory. You know, I can't remember a time, and I know I was disciplined and stuff, you know, but I really can't remember a time that my dad, you know, even backhanded me or anything. I mean, I can't remember. I remember getting disciplined, but not with the hands like that. So it's a good thing in that sense, and I think that's important for us to remember when we're raising our kids. That, you know, some people think, you know, it's okay, you don't do any of this stuff anymore, but I think it's very important. Discipline's a big part of things, and I think without discipline, your home can be just that, a living hell. You know, you want to have a nightmare of a household, don't discipline your kids. Everything gets run amok, and it's a real bummer. So I go into that, you know, just because I know there's a lot of information out there today that talks in regards that's really contrary to the Scriptures, contrary to God's design, and God sets up, again, parameters for this to take place. You know, that it's not to be something that's abusive. It's to be something that's constructive, and that there's an understanding of, you did this, now this is the outcome of doing that. It's that simple. You know, they're the ones that have crossed the line. So we're going to touch base on a little bit more of this from time to time, but just the importance of it. Well, let's just go back just for one second. A couple things that, you know, when we hit verse 6, it talks about training up a child in the way he should go of chapter 22. And then verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know, this idea of the rod of correction, and you might make a note in your Bible, not the threat of correction. You might make that note. It says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And that's just true. Kids are silly. They do silly things. They don't always think through what they're doing. They're mischievous. It's just the nature of young kids. And then it says the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And it's not the threat of correction. It's the rod that drives it far from him. You can keep threatening and threatening and threatening, but it's important to follow through in a godly way with it. You know, just to follow through with it. And then if you back up into verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the way the New King James reads straight through it. But this idea of train is different than teach, isn't it? There's just two different words used, and teaching is information. You know, somebody's giving me, or I'm giving you, you know, somebody's giving out information. And then training is to show by example, to lead in such a way that develops an example for someone to follow. It's one thing, because, you know, in the other things that I do. I have people that are working with me, you know, a lot of times. And a lot of times I've got, you know, younger fellas and stuff that are just learning about different things or different trades. And so we're going over stuff. And some of it seems real simple, but there's a correct way to drive a concrete stake. They're believe that or not. You know, there's a right way, and there's a right way to hold it, and there's a wrong way to hold it. You can split your hand open real easy if you hold it the wrong way, especially when you're using a few pound little sledgehammer, you know, that you're beating these things down with. There's ways to go about it that can make it a lot easier and is a lot safer. And it sounds silly, but these are things. Now, I can say that to you, but if I say that and then I take the concrete stake and I get the single jack, you know, the little sledgehammer, and I show you how to do this, and I show you, see if you hold it, because if your hand slips up above the stake, see this part of your hand right here? It slips up above the top of the stake, and you hit it by accident, you split that wide open, and it's nasty, and those take a long time to heal. Experience dictates these things. Wisdom dictates these things. But, you know, these are the things. Now, see, people told me and maybe even showed me, but then I unfortunately learned by not always applying this thing. Safety glasses are a wise thing to wear. I've had to go down to the hospital before because I had a little rusty sliver that shot off of an angle grinder and went into the blue part of my eye, and then it just started rusting there. It was kind of irritated a little bit, and then the blue part of my eye started turning kind of a off-colored brown. I thought, oh, that's interesting, you know? So I went to the doctor, and I had a splinter because it was rusting in there, you know, and they had to get tetanus shot and all this stuff. Wear your safety goggles, you know? Now, if I'm not wearing them, I'm not a very good example, am I? You see, I can say, hey, you need to wear your safety goggles, but I need to be an example too. I'm not good at all. I'm not perfect in all of this. I'm just saying this is the way to go about it. That's the difference between teaching and training. Very valuable for us. And this is talking about in spiritual ways here. I'm getting some kind of practical stuff, but in spiritual ways too. You know, do our kids see us in prayer? You know, if they peek in on us. Do our kids see us with our Bibles open? If they stop in on us, you see? Do they find us in that place where they see us? Are we talking about things regarding the Spirit? Are we encouraging them regarding the Lord? Is that an earmark, so to speak, of our lives? Is that something that's, you know, a connection, you know? Are they interrupting us when we're listening to a Bible study? Or you see what I mean? It's just that these are things that are going to be marked as examples to them. And it's part of the training that goes on. And then the verse, it says, and when he is old. Really, in the Hebrew language, there's really an insertion right there. And that insertion really is the word, and I'd make this notation because it really gives a better description of this. Even. It says, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And even when he is old. See, the idea is that train up a child, not so that they're going to, so that we excuse some rebellious years in there and we excuse all. Yeah, it happens, but that's not necessarily the design. The design is that they would follow the Lord, and then even when they're old, you know, even when maybe they're getting a little more run down and there's more challenges because they've gotten older, they're not going to depart from it. That's really the inference here, not so much that, oh, well, train up a child while they're under your care, they're going to go off the wall a little bit, then they'll come back. Yes, but not so much just that. It's more of this whole idea that, hey, they'll follow the Lord, and even when they're old, they're going to stick with it. Kind of brings in a little bit new light to it. So you might make those little notations in there, the rod of correction, not just the threat, and then this other idea regarding that. And then also, do not withhold the correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. And this is the whole thing is here is like, even when they, you know, how they sometimes we've found out later, you know, and as many of you do find out later, some of you, sorry to burst your bubble, you're probably not wounding them as badly as they act like you are, because a lot of times we found out later they knew just when to scream and carry on and all this stuff and get it all over with earlier, you know, and then they usually got the gist of it, but they were really glad if it was just their mom doing it anyway, so it was funny. I mean, she'd be in the grocery store, and wherever she went, poof, there was a Rotary paddle with her, wherever she went. Well, there's three of these guys, you know, it was a crazy deal for a while there, you know, and, you know, it was bad. So off to church, We had a nice little bag that the retiring battles went in that, too. You know, there's bathrooms there. It's just the way it is. So, but they're not going to, you know, from a spanking is the point. From a spanking, they're not going to die from that. You know, they're not going to, that's not going to kill them. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. And that doesn't mean what some people take it to, beat the out of them. That's not the, you get what I'm saying? That's not the point of it. See, people take license with this stuff that's not there. So, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Man, it just brings great pleasure, doesn't it? You know, parents, you know, to see our kids, you know, seeking after the Lord, or to see them, you know, pursue things that are godly. And it's inexpressible. It's the inmost being will rejoice. You know, it's just a good thing. And we want to pray together for all of our kids. I know all of us that whatever age their kids are, and even ours that are older, and sometimes they get a little bit distanted from things and from the Lord. And it's important to just keep praying for them and to keep pursuing them and keep encouraging them in the Lord. And just, you know, as they have these little glimmers of good things going on like that where they're seeking God, man, it's great. The inmost being will rejoice. But it's the desire that they would pursue the Lord always, and that's what we want to encourage them to do. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Okay, that idea. You know, sometimes we read through, and we've mentioned this in the Psalm, Psalm 37, some of the other Psalms, where you read through and you say, man, how long, God, is the sinner going to prosper, man? My goodness, it gets frustrating sometimes. You look at some of the things that go on, even in the name of the Lord. Isn't it sometimes funny, you know, even in the name of the Lord, and you see these crazy off-the-wall things going on, and you can't get enough chairs in there to fit everybody. And you just go by, you scratch your head, and you go, what is that all about? Why? You know, and then why is the sinner, the person that's doing business in a, you know, backwards way and underhanded way, and they're, you know, shifting things around and they're prospering. What is going on, Lord? Well, you know, the Lord says, you know, don't be envious of them, and don't set your eyes on that. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day, man. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your sights on Jesus Christ, and don't be so worried about what everybody else is or isn't doing. Just do what you know to be best in the Lord and what's biblical. Because surely there's a hereafter and your hope will not be cut off. In other words, God's going to honor that. And we're working not just for here. See, we're looking towards the eternal perspective, remember, as believers. And so that's important. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. We're going to talk about drowsiness in a little bit, and we're going to talk about wine bibbers and such in a few minutes, and the dangers of mixing with them. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. You know, respect and honor, you know, our folks. I think it's an important thing to honor them and be respectful of them. I think it's just a good word for us to remember. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and do not sell it. It's a prized possession. Gain it. Hang on to it. Wisdom and instruction, understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Good word. You know, just be righteous in your dealings, you know. Treat people like you'd like to be treated, and love people the way you want to be loved. You know, handle yourself in a way that would please the Lord. It's a blessing to your parents, and it brings honor to your family. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress a narrow well. She also lies in wait for a victim and increases the unfaithful among men. And again, that concern and that caution of getting caught up in sexual promiscuity and just the danger that's there. Now he goes on in verse 29. In the earlier Proverbs, we talked quite a bit about that, about the promiscuity and some of the things that are involved with that. But as we go on in verse 29, it says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? who has complaints, who has wounds without cause, and just think about it, and who has redness of eyes. And he says, those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. It's that whole idea of fermentation, you know, likely that is being discussed there. But that whole idea of alcohol consumption, really. And at the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of a mast saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beat me, and I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? You know, we have a serious problem globally. We have a serious problem in the United States, no doubt. There's probably well over 20 million alcoholics in the United States, you know. And yet as a society, we're still shoving this out, pushing this out on people. The idea here is that, you know, you just kind of go numb to a lot of life, is the idea. And a lot of that is the point in doing it to begin with, is to get numb from life. And then as you get numb from life, then you end up not even realizing why or what has really happened to you. And you've been hit, you know, but you don't even realize that you're hurt. You know, you don't even know it. They've beaten you and you didn't feel it. And when all you're thinking about is going out and doing it all over again. It is a crazy way to get through life. And so many other people get wounded in the midst of it. You know, you think maybe it only affects you. Oh my, not so. We had a friend growing up who, quite a guy, neat guy, great business guy, and just a good, one of my real good buddies' dads. And, you know, the kind of guy that, nah, don't spend money to have them rebuild your engine. Bring the car over here. Let's tear that thing apart. You know, that kind of a guy. Just a cool guy that, you know, we'd spend the evening, you know, evenings tearing into this thing till 11 or 12 at night. And, you know, we were just young guys, late, you know, in our teens. You know, driving around, sometimes we'd hop in his pickup and go somewhere, pick up something, and, you know, yeah, there's always a bottle that rolled out from underneath the truck seat, you know, if you hit the brakes too hard. You know, he's like, wow. Of course, we were kind of messed. I was kind of a messed up young guy at that point, so it really didn't make me any, never mind one way or the other. I just thought, you know, wow. Didn't really realize it. You know, you don't realize sometimes, you know, what's going on with some people. This guy was just pickling himself. Had no clue. He could maintain better than anybody I'd ever known. I mean, you just never knew it. Well, then we finally started, we could detect what was going on when it was happening. This guy, you know, I really don't know. Family members aren't altogether positive, really, what all happened. But ultimately, just got to the point where, you know, he'd fall down, you know, and hurt himself and lay in the driveway all bloodied and couldn't get out. You know, just the list goes on and on and on. It was just disastrous. Hard to watch and hard to see happen. These were some of my life lessons that were wake-up calls, you know, the yellow lights flashing growing up, like, hey, be careful, you know, this could be you too, be careful, you know, those kind of lights that were flashing. And I remember watching this fella, and ultimately, you know, it was sad, is, you know, we'd go out, after I gave my heart back over to the Lord, you know, he'd be in and out of jail, you know, incarcerated all over, really all over the state, honestly. I don't know what happened. There was at one point he ended up in San Quentin. I don't know. You really have to have done something pretty serious to end up there. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but he was there for a while. And all because of this. You know, don't be deceived to think this isn't a viper. Oh, my. You know, and I know that many are able to just, you know, I understand that, but there's a lot that, even though I understand the liberty aspect of this, but there's a whole lot of people that really ought not to have that liberty. You know, I personally don't take the liberty. I've did at one point and have consumed more than would need to be done by any of us collectively for a lifetime. So I feel like it's a very wise decision. But the thing is in leadership, you know, as you go through the Proverbs and you find out in leadership especially, there is this thing of it tainting our judgment a bit. There is that area in your mind and stuff where it touches these areas of inhibition and such. And it can cause us to say things. Even here it talks about, you know, that perverse things were coming out of the mouth. You know, things can start to happen, you know, and you just, Solomon, you know, the instruction that was given was, hey, man, be careful about that, you know. Is the rulers are to be careful that way. And I take that seriously in the sense of being in leadership as a believer. And I think that's very important to be real careful about it because people are watching our lives. And, okay, yes, we have liberty, but, boy, I'll tell you, you know, it's sure not worth it to me to exercise it. I can really have lemonade and be really just okay. You know what I'm saying? So I just encourage you, muse on that, contemplate that. And be aware that, boy, there are so many today. It is a substance that to be reckoned with, and there are many people that are going down. This buddy of mine, the conclusion of his life in a nasty rainstorm, crossing the street, got killed, hit by a car and killed. You know, I really don't know what, no one's sure what really happened, but that was what happened. And, you know, just a tough way to wrap it up, you know, on that sense. But something real important for us to tuck away and remember. It's not something to be messing around with. I really especially speak clearly to young people about this, you know. Don't start habits like this that can be so destructive it's not worth it. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. In verse 1 of 24, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. You know, what does he say? Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. Don't want their things, their fancy stuff. And basically, he just says, stay away from it. That's great counsel. Stay away. There's some things we just need to stay away from. Get away from it. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. God wants to bless. God wants to care for us. God wants to help us to be established in Him. But, you know, this comes as we exercise wisdom and as we really walk with the Lord. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in the multitude of counselors there is safety. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Now, this is not just physical strength. This is, you know, really that idea of understanding that we are in a battle, that we need to develop and grow so that we can be strong in the Lord. And that we want to, for by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. We're engaged in a battle. We need to interact with one another. We need to be able to encourage and share with one another things from the Word that's going to be a blessing. And sometimes it's hard to receive, but it's best to take it and run with it from the Lord and do what God would have you to do. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. He who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. Okay, so we've met scoffer. Remember scoffer, and then now we know who schemer is. He who plots to do evil will be called schemer. So the person that's plotting to do evil is schemer, and then the devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. So we want to be careful not to get caught up in, you know, the scheming, plotting to do evil. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And so this kind of ties in a little bit with verses 5 and 6. If you faint in the day of adversity, you know, some people look at trials and all this stuff and they say, oh, it's just a bummer. And yeah, it is. But the thing is, though, is it really proves out sometimes where we're really at. It can be a good proving ground for us. You know, if we're fainting, if we're growing weary and getting all beat down in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Where should we be driving our strength from? From ourselves? No. Our strength is to come from the Lord. So as we trust in the Lord and let God to build us up and let our strength develop in Him, You know, in what do I trust in? I can't trust in yesterday's provision, right? You see, I want to trust in today and let God. And so today I need to be trusting in the Lord, relying on God, letting God build up our lives today. Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render each to each man according to his deeds? You know, really to think about the fact that sometimes it does cause a bit of conflict when we speak our hearts and the truth concerning the gospel and our convictions. And this can happen around our families, our friends, our workplace. It can create a little bit of, we talked about this recently on Sunday morning. But, you know, it's the truth. Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. You know, are you ever thinking that this is what's happening in so many people's lives today? You know, that they're just stumbling, heading on in, you know, like sheep for the slaughter. You know, and are we saying, hey, wait a minute. You don't have to live your life like this. You can give your life to Jesus Christ. God's got a better plan for your life. We have that ability to say that. And we aren't going to, are we going to be able to say that? Well, if we say, surely we did not know this. Well, we didn't really realize that that wasn't, you know, that that was that bad. They're just going to, no, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're destined for hell, right? That's what the Bible teaches. Do we believe that the Bible teaches pantheism? That all roads lead no, we don't believe the Bible teaches that. We believe that if that were possible, then why would Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come to the earth and die for our sins? Why would he have suffered the kind of suffering that he did? Why would that wouldn't it? So all roads don't lead to God. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And so that necessity, and you say, well, boy, that's pretty narrow. Yet Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Broad, all roads lead to God. Broad is the road. You get the connection now? People say, you got to broaden your viewpoint, Jim. Well, no, I don't. It's not on this. Not on this topic. I can't. God doesn't have a broad view of this. It's narrow. And we've got to stay the course with this. It's very important for us to stay the course with this. And we can't excuse it and just say, oh, well, you know, I didn't really realize it was going to be, you know, that was going to be what, well, no, God knows, and God knows our hearts, and God knows that, we need to bear good witness is the whole thought of this. My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul if you have found it. There is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. The good things of the Lord, you know, he says, taste and see, you know, the Lord is good. That idea of once you've received the goodness of the Lord into your heart. And we kind of sung, you know, some worship tonight, and some of that worship was really geared towards it. You know, there's nothing that compares to the Lord. Nothing. And I so echo all of that, and so that's so much my heart, you know. Nothing. Nothing compares to Jesus Christ. Nothing compares to knowing Him. Nothing. There is nothing that compares with that. Man, we want to enjoy that. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. Man, nothing compares to that. If you have found it, there is a prospect. Something good there. And your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. For a righteous man shall fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Yeah, one example that I came across was Judas. Judas failed, obviously, miserably, right? But he was wicked. And what did he do? He gave up. You know? He took his life. He gave up. He fell, no doubt, to say the least, and then he just gave up. Took his life. But the righteous, it's different. Seven times being that number of perfection. That idea of, man, you know, may make that mistake, but we're going to get up and keep going. Keep following the Lord. You know, I've shared with you oftentimes, you know, I really believe in that concept of repent and move on.
Move on.
Fall or fail forward. You know? You don't need to fall backwards into the whole miry thing and get bogged down with all of it. There may be some repercussions to some things that we fail in. There's no doubt about it. Fail forward, though. You know, grow, develop, move through it. Let God have it. Man, pride is what holds us back in these spots and just that kind of thing in our lives. And then the Lord just says, man, no way. When the righteous may fall seven times and rise again. Well, how many times? Peter, great example to us. You know, he did some goofy stuff, you know. But he does the same kind of things that we would do. Just you can make these mistakes, but yet what do you do? Got right back up with it, you know. And was used, as no doubt, as a great example to us. Paul the Apostle sought to be righteous, really. Even in his zeal for Judaism, was seeking to be righteous. Now God opened his eyes, and he saw that the direction he was going was wrong. And look at what we have. So much of the New Testament is penned by Paul the Apostle. You know, he failed, but he failed forward. Man, I look at it as like, man, if I'm going to fall, I want to fall into the arms of Jesus. You get what I'm saying? We're going to stumble around once in a while. There's some things that are going to happen. You make a couple mistakes. That's not an excuse for it. If God's speaking to you about errors in your life right now, deal with it. Because it can be very serious, the ramifications. Deal with it. But I'm also saying that sometimes there are sins of ignorance. There's things that happen that we just weren't really aware of. We didn't see it coming. And man, the Lord is right there. He loves you. He cares for you. And so we need to know how to pick ourselves up and keep moving in the Lord. Let the Lord pick us up. Keep moving forward. Keep our eyes on Him. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. And do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. So, just because you made a good decision and you see somebody else make an unwise decision, and then all of a sudden they have problems and you think, you know, that's just too bad, isn't it? You know, the Lord's not happy with that, you guys. Lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. In other words, maybe the guy deserved a good chasing and now you just the Lord's not going to follow through with something that you're getting all stoked about this guy having some big problem. It's not right. The Lord doesn't like that. It's not pleasing. And we kind of touched on that recently also. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. So we're not to fear him, and we're not to be envious. For there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. My son, fear the Lord and the King. And do not associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. He who says to the wicked, "You are righteous," him the people will curse, nations will abhor him. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. Maybe we should stamp that on our ballots. What do you think this time around? You know, that's a good word to get out there this time of year. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. Now, this is a good little proverb, husbands. Think about that a little bit. Those of you who are married, husbands, contemplate this. You know, think about giving the right answer. Sometimes the right answer is that looks very nice on you. Get a kiss. You know? Dinner was lovely. Get a kiss. You know? He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. Husbands, we should learn from that one. Isn't it great? God's got a sense of humor. It's good. Prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house. You know, you're thinking about developing a business or something important. You know, if you're going to develop the business, you know, do so and take time to do, you know, get things in order and get it developed and make sure it's going well. Sometimes people, instead of, you know, getting the smaller house, get too big a house. They buy too big a house and then the business things don't go so well or the job thing didn't quite go just like you thought. And then the next thing you know, man, got to get rid of the house and it just is, it's unaffordable and things are just real rough. So prepare your outside work. I like this and I underlined in my Bible, prepare. I think that's a good thing to think about. Prepare. preparation is important, and it's something that you know, a lot of times you kind of hear that term, and it kind of follows in line with it, but it was years ago, it was used a little bit more, but that idea of sloppy agape, you know, that whole idea of, you know, well, it's okay, we just love everybody and all that. Yeah, that's all good and fair, but there's also the Word of God that gives us parameters about everything too, you know, and I think preparation is important. Prepare. You know, you go in and you're going to take a test or something, and you say, well, I'm just going to pray over it. Well, that's good to pray over it, but you should be preparing yourself for it too. Preparation isn't wrong. It's not foolish. It's not less spiritual. It all ties together, you know, that we're to invest and be prepared and to, you know, to just do things accurately and worthwhile. You know, these years as the ministry here is kind of just, you know, being developed as God's just developing it and everything. I think it's important, you know, not to despise the days of small things, as the Bible says. You know, these are important times. These are foundational times. These are times of real stretching and real growing and real learning. And it's important for us to prepare. To prepare for the things that God has for us in the future, to prepare for what is potentially as more and more people begin to come in, and to be prepared for that. You know, not to just be so focused with I and me and how does this affect me, but to be preparing for what God's wanting to do. Remember when we started off? For what? Why has God given some, you know, pastors and teachers? For what? The equipping of the saints. For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body in love, for the building up of the body in love. And so that work of ministry, and that work of ministry is when we leave here, we leave the building and we get off into our places, and there's the work of ministry there, but there's also the work of ministry here. And that we want to be what? We want to be like-minded. You want to be able to say, what's really the vision of the ministry here? Well, what's really the vision of the ministry here? You should be able to simply articulate what the ministry is all about here. You know, how we want to develop relationships, but the most important relationship that we want to develop is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we want to be a part of creating an environment that's conducive to people coming to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. And where the focus is really on Jesus Christ. And then we also want to be able to teach and instruct through the Word of God so that we might be equipped. So that people might be able to get more involved and know what it is that pleases their master, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's simply, you know, can be encapsulated in those things that we want to just seek to please the Lord. You see? And that this is about bringing honor and glory to Jesus himself. And so when you think about this and you think, man, preparation, you know, it's an important thing. And not to just slip through that too quickly. Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause. For would you deceive with your lips? Do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. You know, in other portions of the Bible, you remember, he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You know, we got to leave room for God to just handle things. Man, when we leave room for God, God does a good work. God first is doing a good work in our lives in it. Because sometimes, you know, you get hit in the eye, you got one black eye, you're ready to give somebody else too. That's, you know, that's why it says an eye for an eye. That's really God's grace. You see? Because he knows the heart of man. You got one, I'm going to take your two. That's in nature within us. So when we look at, give room for God to work. Sometimes he might work on your heart to just intercede and start praying for that person that wronged you. He says, what did Jesus say? Pray for those who wrong you and have spitefully used you. Pray for them. Pray that Jesus would be made real in their hearts. I went by the field of the lazy man. Remember I told you, we covered the wine bibbers, remember? Now we're getting to the guys that were got struck with poverty. I went by the field of the lazy man, by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. You know, the little critters were able to get in there and get at the field. The field's just all overgrown. There's no good crop in it. You know, there's nothing to eat out of it. It's just land, you know, that's just being overtaken. And when I saw it, I considered it well. Can't you just see him kind of like, you know, kind of riding up in a little, you know, little, I picture some kind of little cart thing or something, you know, he's just kind of riding up, kind of just looks over and just kind of checks it out for a while. Can you just see Solomon, you know, just kind of looking over there, pondering, just kind of looking over there and thinking about, you know, I just kind of see him going, looking at that and kind of thinking about it, you know, and just going, wow, I'm pretty sure that's a lazy guy's house right there. You know, walls aren't cared for, you know. Is presentation what it's all about? See, I don't think presentation is what it's all about. Some people misunderstand when we get working around the building and stuff, and we start thinking, well, gosh, what's are we getting weird? Are we getting all about, you know, our stuff and about... No. No. I want us to give off who we really are as a people, as a corporate group, as a body of believers. Individually, you know, I think we ought to be concerned about this too, but as a body, that's what I'm supposed to oversee, okay, as a body. You know, individually I can only share the instruction and try and lead as best I can by example, but other than that, what we share together, it doesn't have to be perfect. But it's nice that it's nice. It's nice that it is approachable. It's nice that it's the best that we can, that God can help us to make it. Why? Is it because that it's all about presentations? So, gosh, anybody that knows me knows that that's not where my head's at. We've got no need to impress anybody or anything like that. But we want it to be something that is reflective of who we are in the Lord. And we don't want to be viewed as slothful in the Lord, do we? We don't want to be reviewed as lazy in the Lord. No, we don't want to look like that. We want to look like the what it would be right, you know, and presentable and approachable. And so it's important, as you see, for when I saw it, I considered it well. Remember Solomon just kind of looking at it, just thinking about it. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. In other words, you know what? Eventually it overtakes you. You know, sometimes we get a lot of things going on, don't we? We get a lot of things, we get busy, get a lot of things going on. And I even find, even in busyness, we've got to be careful that we don't neglect certain responsibilities even though we're busy. You know, we get busy doing stuff, but we can still, you know, lose sight of certain things that need to still be done, you know, and still need to be cared for. Even though we're busy doing good things, we still need to be concerned about other things also. And so therein lies, boy, a real balance, isn't it, in our time. It is for me. It's a real challenge every day to balance the time out. In Ephesians it says, you know, to redeem the time before the days are evil. You know, you can just slip into that mode of, you know, blowing things off and letting it go. And, you know, and this is what, again, kind of ties into that idea of, you know, just kind of caring for our stuff. And that's what we try and do, you know. And it's just, I think it's a healthy thing. I think it's a good witness. And I think it's important for us to consider this also. It's not the most important thing, is it? But it is an important thing because it's reflective to those around us and shows really where we're at.